Let us pray. Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're asking for your presence here this afternoon.
We want
to thank you for this opportunity that we have to break the bread of life. And we want to find the reality of the word that you spoke to your disciples. When they came there at the well in Samaria and wanted to feed you, you said that you had meat to eat. That they had no knowledge of. Father, we do not want to be in ignorance of that food. For we want that meat to eat, Father, that brings spiritual life and vitality. So, Lord, we pray that your unction, your anointing would be upon us. And that your word might have free course in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's very good to be here this afternoon. And we want to try to continue on where we were leaving off yesterday evening. I hope to be able to get into some of the mechanics of it. The first thing that I want to establish, and that is the thought concept that God had when He created man. Some of you weren't here yesterday, so I need to kind of recap that a little bit. In Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th verse, God made a revelatory statement. And his intentions as to what he had in his mind concerning man when he created him. That thought was that he wanted to make man in his own image. And he wanted to make God in his own likeness.
He wanted to make man in his own likeness.
Yes, God wanted to make man in his own likeness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And
I don't know how your Bible works in the language of French. I'm not a French student, so you will forgive my ignorance. But in the English, that word likeness, it comes from a Hebrew word.
English to global likeness. Le français me oblo na ba ressemblance. Wo le mien de ba me ba me oblo na ba wa di ame de ma lo ressemble ressemble. Hey, wo le problème le afiko cho na ti sia cho le Hebrew ba me.
And that Hebrew word does not mean to be similar.
Le Hebrew ba me no blo ressemblance à l'oboa qui a mené au gomenibé ou n'y a nous fait si au socle ou non n'est aucun que mon.
But it means to be exactly the same as. So what is?
Please, I'll try problem of language. I think
so.
Try,
all right,
I'll
all
try
right.
To say something like that.
Okay, no problem.
No problem. No problem. What the amela? Many be one more me a pen no me kubo. Mantos me bramiga leere tamo. Kebun wawe wadi wasopli pe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Praise the Lord. Well, I want to throw another word in there.
Okay, throw it.
And that word is Christian. Now, the word in Greek, when you say Christian, it comes from a word to be, means to be like Christ. It does not denote a position of denomination. It does not denote a position of religion. What it identifies is a personality. So, when you say, I am a Christian, you are saying, I am like Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Unfortunately, that isn't always true. But we are hoping by the word of God that aspect will change.
Hallelujah.
So the gospel of God is a gospel of perfection. We all start at an imperfect place, in an imperfect state, and we graduate or move into a position of perfection. Hallelujah. There are several places in the New Testament that we are admonished to be perfect. And one of the scriptures that say that is says, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And you know, our present day theology does not promote or say that you and I can be perfect in this realm. They tell you and they tell me to do the very best we can, and at the end of the day, possibly we will be in a position or place to be perfected. Hallelujah. Perfection is not something that we believe that we as human beings can obtain. Not in this life. But that is not a biblical position. That is not a biblical truth. Heaven, or going to heaven, does not make you perfect. As we read in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 40th verse last night, talking about those who have gone on before us, who are now in heaven, it says that they, those that are in heaven, those that are in the presence of God, cannot be made perfect without us here in this realm of earth. Hallelujah. You have to have this body. You have to have all of the temptations that come because of this body. All the pressure of the environment in which we live that are pressing on your body, pressing on your soul. To be something contrary to perfection. But there is a word that God is bringing us in this hour to a people who want to hear and who want to have a living, walking, talking relationship with God. Hallelujah. There are two orders of orders of religion. One of them is living and one of them is dead. Turn with me to Jeremiah, and I want to go to chapter 31, and it is the story of Jeremiah prophesying to the children of Israel, and he was not only prophesying to the Israel of that day,
but
he was prophesying to the Israel of today. And if you are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you are inducted into that category or into that body of God that is called Israel. And it says in verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah."
Amen. Yehuwa be kwada nkekeligbona ma blanu yeye kule Israel fafe kule Yuda fafe.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers.
Mano abe nusi ma blak kule ufufu.
In the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and they will be their God. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
Yes, I want to make sure you're still there. I want you to turn with me over to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, I want to read the verse 16. And it says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?
Alors,
just read that portion. Now, when he is talking about the temple of God, he's not talking about a church building. But he's talking about you and I, the body in which we live. So God says, I will not dwell in temples made with what? Man's hands. Hallelujah. But I will what? But I will dwell in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. He says, I not only will dwell, but I will walk and talk in them. Hallelujah. So it says here, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of a living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, that word living is a very important word in the Greek. It refers to the process of life and the environment in which that life is living. So God is saying, I am wanting to set up a residence. I am wanting to set up a position of habitation in you. Hallelujah. Not just to be there, but I want to make it a hub of living. A place from which I, God, conduct my business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's not just something that God gives you to get you into heaven, you understand. It's something that God wants to create within the very fabric of your soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But, you know, it's like buying a house that needs to be remodeled. It's like buying a piece of property that's been abandoned. And all kinds of things have been living in that home. All kinds of things.
Okay.
Animals and birds. And the windows have been broken, and all of the elements of the environment have been blowing through it. Hallelujah. And this is the condition of your and my soul when we become born again. Hallelujah. So God has to have a process by which he can clean it up. Hallelujah. He has to instigate a program by which we begin to be able to change. Hallelujah. Brethren, unless you change the inside, you will never change the outside. Do you hear me? No matter how good you paint it up, no matter how good you fix it on the outside. Hallelujah. If the inside is not changed, it will not be productive on the outside. Hallelujah. And that was the problem with the law in the day of Moses. It was rules and regulations that were imposed upon a people from an external environment. So God had to devise a means. God had to devise a way to get on the inside. Hallelujah. Now we sometimes, religion sometimes wants to throw the law out the window. Hallelujah. And we have an expression in America.
Okay.
It's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Yes, there you go.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
So,
and God doesn't want it. God wants the dirty water thrown out, but He doesn't want the baby to be ejected too.
Yeah, fine.
Hallelujah. 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 So that's why He says, I'm going to write my laws upon their hearts. Hallelujah. So that you become the law. Do you hear me?
Yes.
You become the law. Hallelujah. When it says thou shalt not, it is not a matter of rule, it is a matter of nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is like something that would revulse your soul, your whole in being, if you were forced to do it. Because the total character of God is in such opposition to the totality of the environment in which we are living and the environment in which we are born. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we have verse 17 in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. He says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be what? My sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
abe ale sima wo gblo ene bena ma no wo dome eye ma zo wo dome eye ma nye mawu na wo eye woawo hã woanye mie dukɔ eye ŋuti mi dogo le wo dome eye mi de mia ɖokui ɖa aƒetɔ la gblɔe eye migaka asi nu makɔmakɔ ŋuti o eye nye la ma xɔ mi eye ma nye fofo na mi eye miawo hã mianye vinye ŋutsuviwo kple vinye nyɔnuviwo aƒetɔ
katatɔ
la gblɔe amen.
So how is God going to do this?
Aleke ma wɔ atema wɔ esia ɖo?
How is he going to accomplish this aspect of separation and change and this position or place of perfection? Hallelujah. Well, God has given us a pattern, and you will find it in Exodus, the 25th chapter. I'm not going to really go there to read it, but you can put it down in your notes. Well, maybe we should read the maybe we should read a couple of verses there. Exodus 25. Now, I want to give you a little history lesson here concerning Moses. The Bible calls Moses a prophet. Not only just a prophet, but he calls him one of the greatest prophets. So to understand the ramifications of that, you have to understand the nature of prophecy. But prophecy is ongoing. It goes out as it is uttered, and it begins to move and to do in every dispensation of time to bring to fulfillment the word that was prophesied.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Prophecy always deals with the realm of eternity and the plans and the purposes of God for man, whether collectively or individually. And so everything that God was instructing Moses to do, it was a word that had an eternal purpose. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when Moses led the people out of Egypt, it was a prophetic word of deliverance from sin and death.
Hallelujah.
When Moses led the children of Israel through the Red Sea, it was a prophetic utterance of your deliverance in the midst of baptism. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says that the children of Israel were baptized unto Moses by the crossing of the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as he went, brought the children of Israel into the wilderness. Hallelujah. You know that the actual journey from where they crossed the Red Sea and came out on the other side to Canaan was actually 3 days.
4 days.
3 to 4 days.
Yeah, fine.
4 at the most.
Yeah. Okay. Then you have a see. The first Israel, you told the Egypt, you are ye. But the Tony Badia, the care at Tom. Nay, you voila, the can be pas only going.
But instead of going straight on, God turned Moses to lead them out into the wilderness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he said in his word, I am going to try their heart. Hallelujah. So the journey of the children of Israel, let us deal with Canaan. Canaan is called the promised land. So it is the destiny that you and I have as Christians when we are born again. But what Canaan represents is the rule of God over a nation of people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your Bible is more than just a history book.
Yeah.
Your Bible is a living testament. It may have a pen and ink and parchment,
yeah,
or paper.
Yeah.
Huh? What hallelujah. But in actuality, God took a man like a pen and took that man through a series of events his whole lifetime, writing with him in the pages of time. Hallelujah. The plan and the purposes of God. Hallelujah. When you look at Adam and Eve, it is a pen of God writing the plans and the purposes of man for himself that God has for him. Hallelujah. He took a man like Noah and took him as a pen and began to write the story. Hallelujah. And not just the story, But a prophetic word to the end time people of God. As Noah was the Savior, did you hear it? As Moses was the Savior of the house of Israel from Egypt, Noah was the Savior of humanity when God began to move to do something new.
Noah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this Bible is so excitingly alive. Hallelujah. And you can even think now, as of your own experience, in your own time, in your own place, and the life that you're living, if under the hand of God, is God using you to write yet more of the story of God?
Amen.
Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, God took this man Moses And he called him aside to come up on the mountain. But that isn't the whole story. Hallelujah. Because God didn't want just to talk to Moses. God wanted to talk to the entirety of the house of Israel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he told them to sanctify themselves and prepare themselves for that meeting. Hallelujah. So the invitation was open to everyone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What happened? Huh? God came down on that mountain. And the mountain was shaking unbelievably. And I can guarantee you the tents of Israel were flopping around, falling down. Hallelujah. And such lightning as you can't even imagine. That was so powerful, it burned the top of the mountain black. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the children of Israel, we call chickened out. They said, "Oh no, Moses, we're not going up there. You go up there. You go up there, lest we die." Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It takes a few brave hearts to follow God.
Huh?
Did you hear me? It takes a few brave hearts to follow God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God had something he wanted to show the people. And he had something he wanted them to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not working. Wow.
It's not working either.
Right.
We just talk louder. He wanted to show them something. He wanted to tell them something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Moses went up on the hill. And God came down to talk with him. Oh, I encourage you to read the story. Not just the words on the page, but the story that's behind the story that is on the page. Hallelujah. Ask God to open your spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that when Moses went up on the rock, he asked God, he says, "God, I want to see your face." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know if you have the expression, but when we say, "I want to talk with you face to face."
Well, yeah, we have that.
Hallelujah. It doesn't mean I just want to stand and face you to see your face. I don't know what it means for you. But in the actuality of it means I want to know you. I want to look beyond this context of your humanity. Hallelujah. I want to look into the very depths of you. Hallelujah. So when Moses says, I want to talk with you face to face. Hallelujah. He was telling God, I want to know you. Hallelujah. I want to know the reality of who and what you are. Hallelujah. And I want to know your plan, not for man at this moment, but in the things that pertain to man in the future. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would to God there were some Moseses. Would to God that there were some Moses.
What
people?
What to God?
Would to God, I would that God would have a few Moses people.
Fine.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when he went to God, God said, the Bible says, God hid him. God said to Moses, you cannot see me face to face. Hallelujah. Now remember, God is a spirit. Hallelujah. We're not talking about just a personality of like a person. Hallelujah. It says they that worship God must worship him how? They must worship him in spirit.
They have answered in spirit
and in truth. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God said, what I'm going to do, Moses, and I'm going to hide you. Hallelujah.
Okay.
I'm going to hide you in a cleft in the rock, and I'm going to pass by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you're going to see my hinder parts. Hallelujah. He wasn't seeing a physical thing. He was seeing into the future of the things that God was planning for man. Hallelujah. 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 God is a spirit. In the natural, he has no hinder parts. Hallelujah. But in the spirit, he has a position or a plan in his mind concerning man and humanity. And it was in that environment that God began to give Moses the pattern that we call the tabernacle. Hallelujah.
The pattern of Moses.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to Exodus 25. Hallelujah. I have a word here for this sister right here. I'm going to give it now. This word, this sister. I have a word for her. I see you in a vision. And you're sitting in a very, what's the word to describe it? You're sitting like in a very desolate place. It's not, it's very drab, it's very... very desolate. And you are pondering, as it were, your surroundings, and there is something of a despair and a concerning despair on your whole being. But as I see you sitting there, you're holding, as it were, a potted plant that was a potted plant, but it seemingly had in some way been damaged or something, and it wilted.
Okay. Un plant potager. Comment traduire ça en hébreu? nous qui nous abomen abomen tiède nous assis ok ne les assis vos engue.
But as I am looking upon you, and I can hear in your heart a cry going out to God.
And
as I am watching you, I seeing at the base of the wilted plant a sprig of life. And that sprig of life begins to push its way up in that environment of that pot. The ground is very hard. It hasn't looked like it had any water or anything for a while, but it's pressing itself up out of that
Hallelujah.
And as you see that twig coming up, you hurriedly put the plant down and begin to frantically look for water.
Hallelujah.
And you just, it's like you just grabbed something off of the ground that can hold some water, and you run here and you're running there, and finally you run to a place where there's just a little bitty drop coming down.
And
and it's dropping into that little cup, that little thing that you're holding. Hallelujah. And it's almost as though it's just your hands, it seems like. You're just trying to cup the water. And you run back to the plant and you dump the water onto the plant. Hallelujah. And immediately the plant responds.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You sit back down in your chair and you're sitting to watch it. Hallelujah. But I notice that as the plant is coming up, the environment begins to change. Whereas in the beginning it was kind of dark and gloomy and gray, no color. Hallelujah. The color begins to come back into the environment.
And the
thing that is very important is that your countenance begins to change. And instead of seeing despair, I see hope. Hallelujah.
Espoir, hope, okay?
All right, let me pray for you if I may. Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ. I ask you, Lord, just to touch our sister here. You know what her circumstances are. You know what the situations and the things that she is facing. You know the decisions that she has to make. You know the pressures that are upon her. But Father, these things are nothing compared to your grace, your love, and the power, and the authority that you are able to impart unto her. Father, we rebuke the devourer. We come against the depression. We come against the despair. And Father, we impart the spirit of hope. For the Bible says that hope will not make ashamed. My God. So we claim that promise for our sister. That the total reality of your presence might be her testimony as well as her personal experience. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So God gave Moses a plan. In verse 2, he said, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." Now, in the natural sense, this is natural history. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, it says that they plundered Egypt. That means that the Egyptians were giving them gold, giving them silver, giving them cloth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all of these children of Israel, they had these things that they had accumulated by reason of the Egyptians giving it to them, which was theirs to keep.
Hallelujah.
But God had another purpose in his mind. And that purpose was he was going to use those treasures to build his tabernacle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, it was theirs to keep. It was theirs to keep. Hallelujah. But God was saying, whosoever is willing. And he goes, of a willing heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's not a matter of a law that says you must give. It is a matter of desire in your heart to please God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But, well, when we're dealing with the spiritual aspect of it, we're not talking about natural gold. We're not talking about natural silver. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All I have to give is what I am. It is not a point, it is not a matter of building a building out here. It is a matter of building a temple here that is fit for a righteous, holy God. Hallelujah. 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 Turn with me over into Revelations, and we can see the requirement of exchange. That's yours. We turn over into Revelations. I want to go to Revelation 3, I believe.
Verse 20?
Go to chapter 3 of Revelation. And I want to go to the 14th verse.
Okay.
And we'll take the context, 14.
Yeah.
And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. S'il est là où dit qui est là, peu de la bena. Ami signé, Amen. Verset dit là, nous ce peu là, plein n'y a de peu d'eau. Ami signé, mort, feu, nous, au haut, feu, comme je dis là.
Alléluia.
Alléluia.
Praise the Lord. Now, I would encourage you to write that scripture down and meditate and think on it and ask God to give you a revelation concerning it. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go in it per se tonight, but I want to go down to verse 18. It says, God says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. No, let's do verse 17 first. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, thou art miserable, thou art poor, and thou art blind, and thou art naked. Hallelujah. So I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eye with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Hallelujah.
Na plastika si wolo le jumela le signe ben na suke sinoto ple avoyi ben nation ne wunkwe pe na gajio ba ple unkutike pe na sida wunkuo ben na bonu.
Now remember. Remember, we are keeping this in the context of building the temple of God. Not a natural temple, a house, but the temple of humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So God is asking me to exchange what I am that is really low bite. For that which is far above my expectations or my ability to comprehend. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going back to Exodus 25. So God is saying, you have to bring me an offering. Hallelujah. Then the offering is the willingness of your heart to submit to the purposes and the plan of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to jump down to verse 8. It says, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I, God, will show thee after the pattern of a tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even shall ye make them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So God was giving a natural set of circumstances, a natural tabernacle to illustrate a spiritual reality. Does in verse 9, does your Bible, when it talks about it, does it say after the pattern?
Yeah.
So it is made as a replica of something else.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I say, build me a tabernacle. So we are wanting to discuss what the Bible calls the tabernacle of Moses. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, remember, it was a heavenly word that God gave to a man to build a natural tabernacle that represents an eternal purpose.
Hallelujah.
Everything in the tabernacle verifies and substantiates everything that is in the Bible. It verifies and substantiates everything that is in the Bible.
Okay.
And everything in the Bible, Old and New Testament, verifies and substantiates the tabernacle. So any revelation of God must be found in the tabernacle and must be substantiated in the Bible. Any revelations that comes out of the Bible must be found in the tabernacle and substantiates that revelation.
Please, I don't get you very well.
So if you get a revelation from the Word of God, it must be found in the tabernacle.
Okay.
There is a scripture we need to read. It's in Hebrews. And I believe it's found in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, verse 1, now of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of a sanctuary and of a true tabernacle, which the Lord has pitched and not man. Okay.
Kenya, si omi blola.
Hallelujah. And in verse 5 it says, who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Am I putting you to sleep?
Okay. They're not sleeping. They're listening.
That's good. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, this is not just God's plan for man. This has so many facets that, of course, we can't cover them all tonight. But it is dealing with man's plan, God's plan for man, in how God wants to bring man into a relationship with Him.
Okay.
Hallelujah. There are three compartments that make up the tabernacle. We have the outer court. We have the holy place. And we have the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And these three compartments, they correlate to man in three different ways.
Huh?
They work in the realm of the body. They work in the realm of the soul, and they work in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm
just giving you the basic outline. There are seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle.
Seven. Okay,
and they are seven works of grace. The seven pieces of furniture are the seven works of grace that God is doing in our soul.
Okay. This furniture, we have table and chairs or only tables?
I'm sorry?
The furniture. Are they tables or tables?
Well, we're not going. There's just seven pieces of furniture.
Okay.
Generic.
Yeah.
Seven pieces of furniture, seven works of grace.
Okay.
Hallelujah. And each one of these works of grace is to bring a change in us concerning who and what we are. And you and I, as a believer, determine the destiny or the goal that we achieve. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, where you end up at the end of the day is not is it, it is not God who determines it. It's you and I. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you remember the story? Do you remember the story in Matthew 13 of the sower that went out to sow? Do you remember the story?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, the seed was the word of God.
Okay, the word of God, right?
Absolutely. And the ground was the soul of the of the individual who received it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says some fell by the wayside. And the birds came and they counted up. Huh? Some fell amongst the rocks and the thorns. Hallelujah. And weeds and briars sprung up and choked it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But some fell on good ground. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he said some brought forth 30. Some brought forth 60. But some brought forth 100-fold. Now, brethren, I have been a farmer. And when I was farming, I bought quality seed. That means every seed that I was given had the same potential to produce the same thing at the same time, at the same quality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I found out a very interesting thing. The quality of what it produced was dependent upon the ground that I planted it in. If the ground was nice and cultivated and cared for it and fertilized and rich in its nutrients, the plant would grow and it would be so big and huge and so beautiful. And the ones that were planted in ground that was not quite so good, they were lesser value in quality. Same seed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Same seed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it is not the fault of the seed. It's the fault of the farmer. Hallelujah. So I can have anything I want in God if I'm willing to do what is necessary to do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And nobody, 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 did you hear me? Nobody can make that decision for me. I must make it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This represents the journey of God, of yours and my journey into God. Hallelujah. From start to finish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, You believe that God is eternal, right? You believe He has no beginning? Huh? Do you believe that?
Some of
you don't believe that? Do you
Amen.
All believe that? Huh?
I'll tell them, okay, right, so that they understand.
All right. God has no beginning.
They believe it.
They believe it.
That God has
no
beginning.
How about an end? Do you believe He has no end? He has no beginning. He has no end. You all in agreement? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Who is Alpha? Who is Alpha?
This again.
It's the beginning. So you have a God who has no beginning. Who has a beginning? Who is Omega?
Omega.
Who is Omega?
It's
God. So you have a God who has no end, but He has an end. Because Alpha is beginning, Omega is an end. Hallelujah. Huh? Mystery. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When God is called Alpha and Omega, we are not talking about the existence of the Godhead. We are talking about God's plan for man. Hallelujah. So in reference to man, when he becomes born again, he is at the Alpha of God.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
Alpha.
It is the beginning of God's plan for you and for me. Hallelujah. When we talk about Omega, we're talking about the final destiny, the finality of God in man coming together as one. Hallelujah. This is John, chapter 17. Hallelujah. This is John chapter 17 and verse 23. Is it 23? John chapter 23 is the Omega of God. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect. Did you hear it? That they may be perfect. That they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Hallelujah. So, if you were to look at this, if you were to look at this from a cutaway, Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have seven. One, two, three, four, five, six. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
You have seven steps that bring you into a higher position of relationship with God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You could say this is yours and my journey from hell to heaven.
Huh?
Hallelujah. Now, I want to emphasize and I want to be sure that you understand that I determine where I will be at the end of the day. Huh? You remember the sower? I can be of the 30-fold.
Huh?
That is this outer court position of the relationship and experience with God. I can be 60-fold. Huh? Which is this holy place position of relationship with God. Or I can be of the 100-fold.
Huh?
Which is union with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
I'm going to stop right there. And if you have any questions, I will see what I can do about answering them. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. No questions?
Thank you.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.